Hello? Is this really happening?
Hello? I don't know.
Hi, welcome back to Their Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. We're the after show. Go listen to Peanut Butter and Biscuits, Lasso Cast, Richmond Till We Die. Although I don't know if they recorded the as it's going on. But and then if you need more Ted and Rebecca, you come to us.
Oh, I see.
That's why we're here.
So you're basically saying listen to everybody else. And if,
well, listen to...
If you're still wanting more, listen to us.
No, because we're just like the... We focus on Ted and Rebecca.
I know. I think you've explained this to me so many times.
Several times.
I know. All right.
So here we are, guys. And it's been a long time.
Someone
on Twitter, I think, mentioned to me that they were re-listening to our podcast to like gear up for the new season. And at the end... I said, all right, we'll see you probably in like June or July. See you later this year.
Here we are, March 2023.
Yeah, we started this podcast in October of 2021. We finished it in, I think, April of 2022.
Right.
And now it is March of 2023.
Wow. And you know, it's funny now that we have to do it after, you know, once a week after each episode.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember operating like that. I mean, we didn't. So it's just funny it's weird to have that now. Because we started it when, really, right? Because we went,
both seasons
aired and mm-hmm. then we did the podcast. Okay, wow.
Yeah,
we do another podcast too, which is why I'm confused in general.
Yeah, and that podcast, the other podcast that we do, all 9 seasons of that have already
That's all done. Yeah. Many years ago.
But yeah, we had already watched both seasons,
right?
And then I came to you with my harebrained idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is odd, and I asked Apple if we could have screeners, and they said no, which is fine.
You know,
it's fine. Only, yeah.
I'm sorry. And the other thing to mention is we were in another state in another house.
Yes.
And now we're in a new house.
Yeah.
In a different state.
And we went to Richmond.
Right, and we have since gone to Richmond,
yes.
Which was fantastic.
Amazing. So over the summer, this is the summer of 2022,
yeah.
We went to London and Paris. We went to Richmond. We went to Ted Lasso's neighborhood.
Yeah, it was great.
It's adorable. It's so cute. If you have the opportunity to go there. Be polite. Be kind. Don't litter. Don't carve anything in the bench, although yeah. People think that Jason Sudeikis is probably the one that carved that in the bench anyway. You know, and just they appreciate the business and they appreciate the tourism. So I do kind of feel bad though now because yesterday we were watching the Today Show interview and Jason's like, yeah, we can't go to that bar anymore.
Right. Which they used to be able to.
Yeah. So I do kind of feel bad about that. I mean, even if we had seen them at the bar, we wouldn't have approached them, but I'm sure.
But you know, everyone else does.
Yeah. I'm sure people would, but.
Not anyway. The locals, but the tourists who come there.
Right.
Locals yeah, don't exactly. know about the show, really.
Yeah. So
they don't seem to know.
I'm so sorry that you can't go to that bar anymore.
It's a nice bar.
Yeah. So we did that. And then we came home. And then we decided to move across the country.
Yeah.
So we now live in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We sold our house in Los Angeles, moved here. And then we... Driving across the country, we had to move the rest of our stuff. Most of our stuff was already here because I flew out with the girls and got them in school.
Yeah, we put everything in a pod.
Yep. And then we had to drive across the country to get here with like the last that was in our house.
Well, our other car. We shipped one car, drove right. the other car.
And our other car and our bearded dragon.
Yes.
Because they will not allow you to bring a reptile on a plane, which...
All right.
I mean, I guess I get it. Snakes on a plane, whatever, but... He's the quietest animal we own. And once you put him in that little bag that he's in, he's not going to make any noise. He's not going to go anywhere.
Well, it's like a carrying case, like a design yeah. to... Oh, I just want people to think we're putting them in a grocery bag, like a plastic bag.
We flew with two cats one time.
Right.
They cried the whole way taking off. Then they were fine.
Yeah, well, they were drugged.
They were a bit drugged. And then Kevin had to fly with a dog.
Right.
Also drugged.
Well.
You'd had a few beers.
Yeah.
So now we had to get one car, a pod full of crap, and our bearded dragon.
Yeah, it was like one of those little U-Haul trailers attached to our SUV.
Across the country. So we took off from Los Angeles. We were doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were like 2 or 3 days in.
Yeah.
And in Sallisaw, Oklahoma,
yeah,
our SUV completely died. Like
on the interstate, which is I-40.
Yeah.
At a stretch that was a construction zone that was down to one lane.
Yes.
Literally just stopped.
Completely stopped.
Like it wasn't like, oh, this is breaking down. Let me pull over into the side of the road. Just stopped.
Just stopped.
We stopped traffic on an interstate.
But luckily, the construction people were able to help us get into their cones.
Yeah, like so where their lane was blocked off.
So we had someone come get us. We were stuck in Sallisaw for 36 hours, I think.
Yeah, we
tried
to figure that out.
Yeah. We don't have that car anymore. We just had to leave it there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was getting to the point where we didn't know how we were going to get home, but we couldn't wait for the car because it was, they were going to have to like rebuild the entire engine or something ridiculous.
So right.
We just surrendered our car, handed the title over to the auto mechanic.
Yep. And he didn't charge us a dime.
No.
Because we gave him a car.
Because we gave him a car that was pretty much useless, but they could totally rebuild it. And it was not a newish car. This was an older SUV. We were planning to get a new one anyway, but I would have liked to trade it in for at least some money. Yeah. Less, more than nothing.
Yep.
Got a giant U-Haul because that was the only thing we could find in Sallisaw. Yeah,
which took us probably 12 hours to track down. And luckily, everything was in walking distance. I mean,
yes,
when someone
goodness.
Tells you that a town is a one-light, is that what it is? One-light town?
Yeah.
This is a one-light town. There's one light where the interstate runs right in the middle of it, through it, and then it's one road.
But a lot of very nice people.
Yes, that all know each other.
Yes, it was really like Schitt's Creek. And I happened to be wearing my Rose Apothecary shirt that day, so I was like, this is fitting.
A lot of God-fearing people.
We thought we lived there now.
We thought we were stuck forever.
And our bearded dragon, who we like brought to a diner inside the little bag, and they never knew.
Right.
Because like I said, quiet.
Uh-huh. And now here we are.
Now here we are.
Attempting to do our podcast again.
Yeah. The title of this episode is Smells Like Mean Spirit.
Mm.
It was released on March 15th, which was just last Wednesday.
Yeah, I know.
Written by Leanne Bowen and directed by MJ Delaney, both names we've heard before.
Let me just add that this is the second episode that I'm aware of that was named after a Nirvana song. Because All Apologies.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, All Apologies is a Nirvana song. I mean, this one isn't exactly named because it smells like mean spirit. Yeah, but it's the second one.
Yeah, it's definitely taken from that.
Unless another one is, and I don't know that. You can all correct me. Yeah,
yell at him on Twitter. Not
yes.
Me. So the summary of this episode is Ted's back from 6 weeks off with his son. Henry came to London this time. Richmond's predicted in last place, and both AFC Richmond and West Ham are stirring up some shit.
That's right.
Or poupe.
Poupe.
Which is how I will say poupe forever now. So when this episode opens, they really kind of try to do a trick here. Because you see, first of all, it opens on Ted's face.
Right, and he looks miserable.
He does look miserable. But so season one opened on Rebecca's face, closed on Rebecca's face. Season two opened on Nate's face, closed on Nate's face.
Oh.
Season three is now opened up on Ted's face. And so we can assume that it'll close on Ted's face. You hear them paging. He's at Heathrow Airport sitting. You hear them paging Lasso.
Yeah, passenger Lasso.
Which, you know, they would always say first name, not just last name, but they had to do it for this case.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that they're actually calling Henry. So Henry's going home after visiting him. This kid, he's got a Switch. He's got Beats headphones.
Yeah. His dad does all right.
His dad does do very well. I hope Michelle has a nanny and a housekeeper. So he's sending him off. He's very sad. And before Henry leaves, he hands him a little tiny Lego trophy that he has made for when he wins the whole thing. He can keep this one until he gets the real one.
Yeah.
The boy who plays Henry, Gus Turner.
Gus Turner.
He looks so much older. That's the problem with having a chunk of time in between these seasons, is I feel like both he and Phoebe grew up a lot.
They did, yeah. They did. But I mean, I guess at the same time, time's passed in the show, so.
Yeah. So we're to believe that there have been like three, he's going into his third year coaching here. I feel like the timeline's always been a little off, but we're not going to worry about it too much. And do you notice that before Henry leaves, Ted tells him, give your mom a big old hug and tell her I love her.
Yeah.
I found that interesting for a couple who's been divorced now for about a year. I mean, it's good that they have a good enough relationship that he can just say, you know, that he still loves her. And he's not saying he's in love with her.
Right.
It's just like, and it's good for Henry to hear that too, I think. And to be able to go home and tell his mom, you know, dad said hi and that he loves you.
Yeah. I mean, and I think Ted always just takes the high road no matter what.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know what I mean? In a way.
When he gets home, he calls Dr. Sharon on the phone. So it's so odd to me that she's still on the show, but she just doesn't live there anymore. I wonder if we're going to find out why.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I guess.
She seems to still be his therapist because.
She's just at least staying in touch with him.
Yeah, because she tells him they only have a few minutes left. So mm-hmm. I feel like this was a session.
True.
Unless she just, I don't know, he pays by the hour when he needs to call her. So that sounded bad. I didn't mean it like that. Like it's a sex hotline. So he comes home to his apartment and he's kind of telling Sharon about, you know, that he feels bad, that he's on a plane all by himself now. And they're showing you what he and Henry have been up to while he's been there. And it's adorable. They've made an entire Lego set of Richmond Stadium,
right?
With the whole team, the coaches, except for Nate. Nate's kind of like up in the stands, a little further away, but he's still there,
right? Right, and they drew little like Roy's has a little scruff, you know, beard, and so it's really funny.
And you can tell that the eyes and the mustache are just like drawn on,
right, with a Sharpie or something.
So then he's doing the other thing that parents have to do, which is clean up all the Legos. Mm-hmm. Searching under the couch for Legos, he goes into his bedroom and he starts pulling down a fort that they must have made together. First, I thought maybe Henry slept in there because Ted only has one bed, but they probably just made it for fun.
Yeah, little tent.
Now, as he's cleaning up, he's telling another tragic story to Dr. Sharon, which is that his dad left him, or his parents forgot to pick him up from school. So he had to stay there with Mr. Mayer, the custodian. And then his dad paid Mr. Mayer because he had babysat him. And then Mr. Mayer gave him the money back because Ted had actually been working for him while he was there. He was doing chores and stuff. And then he never got to give him a thank you gift because Mr. Mayer was hit by a train.
Yes.
So, one, I mean, obviously, the most tragic thing is that man was hit by a train. But in Ted's life, again, this is his parents leaving him somewhere. Because we got this story in season one about how they left him at the clock.
Right.
For 3 hours and 42 minutes or whatever it was. And so, what was going on in this family? There were definitely issues leading up to what ultimately ended up happening with his dad. Like, I feel like there may have been a bit of, not necessarily neglect, but just like not paying a whole lot of attention to what Ted was doing at home.
And did you notice on Ted's dresser that picture, the picture of Nate is still,
you know what? Still there? I did not notice that until just now.
Yeah. That shows you how Ted is.
I knew he was going to still have it in his bedroom.
I would have thrown that thing out the window.
It's still there right next to a picture of Henry. So they're still doing the montage. Now it's showing he's cleaned up all the stuff from Henry. Now it's showing him getting himself back into Ted mode. It's like Clark Kent spinning into Superman here.
Yeah.
He's in the shower. And I meant to go back and look and see. I think that is the same shower scene from the first season.
Probably.
Because they were probably like, why make him get in the shower again?
Yeah, we could show just, the same thing.
Yeah, we just have, I'm sure we have more footage of that. And he's shaving his face and he's trimming his mustache. And he's also telling Dr. Sharon, like, why am I still here? Like, I'm kind of trying to figure out, I know why I came here, but I don't know why I'm still here.
Right.
Because his kid's on the other side of the world. And I don't think he really feels quite at home here. As they're wrapping up their call, he asks Sharon if he can still ask her some personal questions. I love how Ted wants to get to know everyone that, you know, the sewer guy, Ollie, right. Horse's therapist.
Yeah.
And so he asks her if he's dating, if she's dating anyone. And she's like, pass. And then he's trying to figure out like what team she's on. But we do find out that Dr. Sharon is, in fact, dating a very nice-looking man who's waiting in her bed for
her. Sure, dating, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't...
Is somebody in her bed?
Could be friends with benefits. We don't know. But right. it seems as though she's having a good time. In the park, when he's walking to work, that is the little baby and the woman that he encounters is Brendan Hunt's wife and their son.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's so cute. Yeah. There were people, I remember there were people that were in Richmond this day and saw a shooting and they saw this little, that whole encounter happen where he goes up to the baby.
And it's funny, if you look up in the distance, some the people are just minding their own business doing their thing. There are people who are just literally staring at him walking.
Like, those are probably the people who
and
were,
they can see the camera, you know right, what I mean? And they're probably like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, and even if they don't know what's shooting or know what Ted Lasso is, because a lot of people don't there, they probably were just like, oh, let's watch whatever they're doing over there with
right,
the camera.
Exactly.
We did see some shooting for something else while we were there. Some George Clooney movie, I think.
Yeah, we never like, looked that up, did we?
No. A lot of old-timey cars and stuff. And we stopped to look when we saw like some horses and stuff in one area.
Yep.
So now he's getting to work and it says Earl Greyhound Training Facility. Do you know what that used to say?
Oh, no.
Rupert Mannion Training Facility.
Oh, that's right. And now it's dedicated to the...
Yep.
To Earl. Oh. I should. Why didn't I catch that?
Now we get the first Rebecca scene of the season. She's in her office with Higgins. It's so nice to see Higgins and the office and Rebecca.
Yeah.
It's been such a long time. And we have a little bit of like, no, I don't want to say old Rebecca. We have a little bit of season one Rebecca, just in like her anger in this scene.
Yeah.
Because Richmond is, everyone's saying that Richmond is going to finish last. And that's really pissing her off. So Ted comes in and he doesn't have his normal rhyming salutation. So she knows that something must be wrong with him. That's very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's because Henry left.
Yeah. And he says...
But of course he has biscuits.
Yeah, right. Maybe he and Henry made that.
Yeah. Even, you know, with everything going on, they managed to get them biscuits done.
He is never going to not bring that woman biscuits.
I know.
She better end up with him or else...
And maybe we've had this discussion before, but what... Is he cooking a whole big thing of biscuits and... Cutting them up during the week or every night it's a fresh?
No, he can't.
Right?
I mean, in a lot of the fanfic I read, it's he makes it like once a week and then cuts them up.
That makes sense.
But I think he would still have to do it more than once a week because
yeah,
when
you're probably
we make
right.
the little tray, unless he does a 12 by 9, then he probably gets enough out. Or maybe he can even freeze some. The man's he's baking at least once every week and a half.
No. Yeah. What else has he got going on besides coaching team?
I hope that Henry helped him make them one time. That'd be cute. Although, baking with a child is always...
Not as fun as you think it's going to be.
No, you think that it's going to be like a commercial. And then really, it's a nightmare because ingredients are going everywhere.
And then they lose interest halfway through.
Exactly. And then you're stuck doing it all at the end anyway. So I like that Ted says that he's now 10,000 feet up in the air. Rebecca's like, I think they fly higher than that.
I know. And then Higgins is like, definitely.
So he's just feeling a little sad for himself. And he's like, I didn't mean to come in here and tinkle on everyone's toenails. God, that's so Ted.
I know.
And he sees that they're not in a great mood either. So Higgins explains that they're predicted to come in last. And he's like, you know, I'm not going to, of course, he's classic Ted. He's not going to worry about any of that stuff, right? He's just going to worry about the team. She's saying that Rupert's been picked to finish in the top four. And she's naming him instead of West Ham. And Ted picks up on that very quickly.
I know.
So he's like, she's like, he's going to win him. And he's like, they.
And then she's like, them. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you didn't.
So Rebecca's still taking this very personally, which in this respect, I thought we would see both kind of Ted and Rebecca a little further along in their healing journeys.
Mm-hmm.
Where I know that Rebecca's not like super pissed. I mean, she's
so yeah, I mean, I think it's Rupert. A different, I don't know if it's now less of a scorned lover and just more of a, you know what I mean? I got to beat him or,
right.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
No,
maybe it is all tied together, but I'm just, you know what I mean? Like he can't beat me or whatever. Now it's a competition in a way.
And she knows that he did this. Like if anything, Rupert is still really stuck on Rebecca because the whole reason he is doing this is so that he can beat her.
Right.
You know, and I guess.
And he has to really, going back to previous seasons, he has to always like let her know how good things are.
Right.
And, like when he had the kid at the funeral, the child at the funeral episode. Oh, things are going well. I don't even own TVs anymore. Right. Life is so good. I just want to watch my family or whatever. So, you know what I mean? There's always.
Yeah, he always has to kind of one up her on
anything
that she's doing. Hannah Waddingham looks gorgeous in this scene. And I do think that they kind of have Rebecca looking a bit softer than they have.
Oh, there's definitely something going on with the lighting this year that I haven't figured out yet, but yeah, it's different.
Yeah, the lighting is different. And like her hair is down, which, no, I mean, she would wear it down sometimes. So I wonder how much we'll see it down this season, but I kind of like this like little softer version of Rebecca. Mm-hmm. But she's not happy about where they're placed. And she kind of gets into it with Ted as far as like, what is your plan to win? And he's like, you know, well, we're doing fine. You know, the guys have some good tactics and the team's working really well together. But she's like, that just fine is not going to do here.
Right.
And then she makes a callback to season one, the last episode of season one, where she says, who's the man who said we were going to win the whole fucking thing? And he's like, did I say that? And then she's like, yes, just before you blasted a half a liter of Pellegrino in my face. And then he's like, oh, right.
And Higgins wants to know, wait a minute, what was that about? It's funny because he didn't know anything about it.
I love him just bouncing back and then, wait, what? What happened?
I know. And then they just ignore him. They don't even tell him.
No him. She's like, that is the Ted Lasso that I want to see. And she says, understood. And he says, yes, ma'am.
And then he makes his whole Muhammad Ali reference.
Yes.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
But he's not going to die afterwards. Right, he's just going to keep floating and stinging.
Whatever that means.
Now, Rebecca leaves because she's going to have lunch with Keely because Keely now has her own firm and doesn't work there anymore. And on the way out, he says, okay, tell Keely I said hi. And then he points to Higgins and he's like, tell her I said yo, which is
right,
silly.
He says howdy and he says, which I believe, personally, I think it is from, it is a reference from a Beastie Boys song. Paul Revere.
Mm.
And the rhyme is, I said howdy, he said hi. That's the line in the song. So if anybody knows, I just dated myself, but anybody knows that reference, Paul Revere from
I'm sure they do.
License to Ill. But yeah, that's the line is, I said howdy, he said hi.
Ah,
so I think he was supposed
Jesus
to say
Jesus.
Hi and he just he says said, yo, because he doesn't know the song.
Exactly.
That's just my observation.
But now watch Rebecca as she leaves. She like barely clears the threshold.
I know. Like,
they
let's
were probably
not reshoot
just like,
it.
Yeah,
just
we're not going to do that. It's fine. You didn't fall down
overshoot
or smash
the door.
Your head,
yeah.
So we're keeping it. Down in the office when Ted gets there, I love that he calls Beard Sweetie Pie. Remember when they kind of started doing that in season one?
Yeah.
He was, something about honey, and he's like, are you calling me that, or is he just that an ingredient in the candle?
And then he says to Roy, he says, what's the frequency, Roy Kenneth?
Kenteth.
Which is this from the song, What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
Yep. That's R.E.M.
Right? R.E.M., yeah. Which is a whole backstory on the origin of that song, but we won't get into that now.
Okay. But Roy is trying to come up with some tactics.
Right.
He's got a 4-4-2 thing up on the board, and he thinks he's going to have to explain it to Ted, but Ted's like, no, I know. He says, Henry and I have been playing a lot of FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that if there are other football coaches that happen to watch this show, they're probably nauseated by the fact that Ted Lasso is learning how to play soccer from playing FIFA. And then making whatever millions of dollars that he makes.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. But at least Ted's like trying now.
Right.
Before, he really didn't know anything. So I think we might see a little bit of Ted putting his head in the game and really trying to figure out what the hell he's doing here this time, in addition to team morale. Rebecca shows up at Keeley's publicity firm for lunch. And I love that there's a neon sign that's like KJPR.
Yeah.
Very Keeley.
Yes.
And Rebecca's wearing a really cute like pink coat.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're going to see her in quite a bit of pink this season, just based on like photos I've seen.
Oh, okay.
Which a lot of people attribute to Ted because the biscuits box is pink.
Oh.
But it could also be a Keeley influence because everything at Keeley's is pink.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I guess it's better than seeing that eggplant suit every other episode.
Oh, yes. Remember the blue shirt?
Yeah, the blue shirt. Yeah, we saw that a lot, too.
There is a person on Twitter, Rebecca Belton's wardrobe, and she basically finds like all of the items.
Oh, I'd be curious to see where this code comes from and how much it actually is.
I know. She hasn't found it yet as we're recording this, but I'm sure she will soon. Because I was curious, too, how much it costs. But yeah, it's the amount of money that Rebecca's clothes costs are crazy. It's crazy. But she never could find that blue shirt that she wore like
a... Oh, so, really?
Yeah. I think Now I'm thinking that Hannah Waddingham just wore that shirt to work and was like, yeah, I'm just going to leave this shirt on today. It works.
From years and years ago or something.
Right. And then wore it 7 times. Oh, I spilled my water.
Yeah, my foot.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Keeley introduces Rebecca to everyone in the office. She's like, this is my friend and my former boss. And this office is very different than Richmond. Like,
yeah. Nobody seems to care.
Yeah, they may have well just walked into a bank. Like, it's quiet. Everyone's kind of dressed conservatively. So they go running into her office, and she's talking about how the reason why they got such a great deal on the space that they're in, because it is an amazing space.
Yeah, like, it is.
It's probably cost a huge ton of money. Yeah. Banter apparently is doing very well. And she says that the former people like got accused of groping people. And she's like, it does have some cool features, though, and she can fog out the entire window.
Yeah, yeah, that's neat.
It was almost like kind of a callback to the whole Matt Lauer thing, I thought, where he could make his door close, I guess.
Yeah, close and lock.
But they use that on the morning show, so maybe that's why they went with the fogging windows.
That's right.
Then as soon as the windows fog, Keeley starts crying.
Really ugly crying
face. Oh, my goodness. Poor thing. And here is where I feel like, okay, just for a minute, think back to season one, Rebecca and Keeley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think back to her coming in that first time and sitting on the couch and throwing off her shoes and then wanting to see the naked picture of Rebecca.
Right.
This is such a different Rebecca. Like, she's so warm and, like, just pulls Keeley in her arms and is very, like, you know, sweet with her.
So that makes sense.
I feel like this is really where we see what we heard was the real Rebecca in season one coming out the most with Keeley. So she kind of pulls her into her arms so that she can cry on her. But we don't technically know why Keeley's crying at this point.
No, we don't. And the thing is, like, you think it's just, oh, she's so stressed out and all that. But then you later find out there's more to it.
Yeah. Keeley feels so much better after her cry. And she says so. And then Rebecca says, isn't crying the best? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Keeley actually says that. But Rebecca says, it's like an orgasm for the soul. And then she says that in her last 3 years with Rupert, she doesn't think she ever cried once. And I'm surprised that she didn't make a joke that she also did an orgasm once.
Yeah, I know, right? That would have been good.
That was wide open for that.
Yeah, I know.
And as she's eating her salad, she puts it down and you can see that there are two clear eye marks on her gorgeous and probably very expensive blouse from where Keeley was crying. And she's like, I'm so sorry that I did that. And she's like, oh, it's hardly noticeable. It's very noticeable.
It is.
So they're talking about the fact that Richmond's in last place, and she's like, how are you doing with that? She says that she's a little worried that Ted isn't worried enough about it. And Keila's like, yeah, you just gotta let Ted be Ted. And she's like, I suppose so. And then she says, like, she's saying here that she doesn't feel the same anger towards Rupert anymore, but now she just wants to win. And I love this reference, like left eye.
Right, that's kind of what I was trying to explain earlier. Like now it's more of, you know, just wants to win. It really could be competing with anyone else. But I mean, the fact that they have that personal connection.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's definitely more because it is Rupert. But she's not unhappy in her life anymore. You know, like she's probably feeling better being alone. She's probably happy she's not with him.
Right.
But she still just wants to kick him, I'm sure. But then she says, not like the member of TLC who tried to burn all of her ex-boyfriend's trainers in the bathtub and ended up burning down the entire house.
Yes. Which was Andre Rison from the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh,
was
really?
The player.
I know nothing about that.
Yeah. Burn his house down. I think here in Atlanta, I believe.
I wish they would have. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wish they would have stayed on Rebecca's face the entire time she said "fucking legend," because that would have been a great gift.
A gift. Well, and a gift.
Yes, but not a gif. So she just says, you know, like now she really just wants to beat Rupert. She wants to win. So one of Keely's coworkers comes in and asks Keely, like, are you really sure that you want to spend $200 every month on flowers? And she's like, yeah, because they're pretty and they smell nice. And
like, no idea.
And she says, flowers are for dead people and dead marriages.
Wow.
And I love when she goes to leave, she's like, it was very nice to meet you, to Rebecca. And then Rebecca's just like, nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what to make of this lady. The whole office is very awkward to her because it's like a normal office and not Ted running around. I guess it's kind of like Keeley's Higgins.
Yes. Yes.
And I love that Keely had no idea what CFO was until Rebecca tells her.
I know. She just keeps saying CFO, but no idea what. And I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. I know,
because she says it too many times.
Right.
So you have to know that she just doesn't have a clue as to what's going on. Oh, and I forgot to mention earlier when Rebecca took her jacket off, Keely threw it on her couch instead of like having a place to hang it up. And you could see that just hurt Rebecca's soul. Mm-hmm. Probably because it is a $2,000 to $3,000 jacket. So Rebecca has to leave. They say goodbye. She's like, thank you for the advice. She thanks Keely for talking her through Richmond being in the lowest spot. And she says, thank you for your bosom. I love them.
Yeah. The chemistry is great.
Now, while Rebecca was out with Keely, Ted decided that he was going to take the team on a little field trip.
Yep.
Because they were doing training and the team was kind of distracted. And they were distracted because they have also been reading all the headlines that say that they're in last place. So he loads them all up on a bus. And at the same time, we see Nate preparing for his first press conference that he's going to have with reporters as West Ham's coach. Now, we all remember Ted's first one because it was right after he got off the plane. And he got shoved in there with Rebecca. Yeah. It seems like Nate probably had a little more lead time. But as he sits down, he doesn't seem any more comfortable than Ted did that first time. So on the field trip, Ted takes the boys down into a sewer. And I love that so the backstory is that Henry watched the movie It on the plane on the way over. Our daughter was very excited about the It reference because she's watched that movie now four times.
Yeah, and she's watched the old ones, the remakes, yes, everything.
And not scared at all.
No.
This kid's ready for The Walking Dead, I think. Oh, God. Well, Henry watched it and he was scared. So they decided to go on a sewer tour so that he could see that the sewer really doesn't have creepy clowns and he could face his fear. But of course, while they were there, Ted met Ivor, who runs the tour, became best friends with him, and then was probably like, hey, do you mind if I bring my team over at some point?
Well, and that's the thing, like, and why is there is a tour guide? Like, there are that many people that want to tour the sewer?
Well, I think
maybe... Or he just works there and he gave him a personal tour.
That's a good point. My thought was that maybe there was some sort of like historical tour of like, because he talks about 1857 right. and how like this.
Even still.
That's true. I don't know. What's the desire to tour the sewer system? Zero on my part, but maybe a real history buff. Next time we go there, we're taking the kids on a sewer tour if they have it, just because they will hate it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So he's describing the sewers of London and basically how they're all connected. And, you know, if stuff gets jammed up in there, then you end up with something like a cholera outbreak because it's going to cause bad things. Now, at the same time, they intercut this scene with Nate trying to do the press conference.
Yeah, this was interesting.
Yeah, it was excellent the way they did this because, you know, Nate starts off, and I feel like in other areas of this episode, we kind of, you could see the old Nate still there. Like, it's almost like he's putting on this character once he tries to be mean.
Right, like he's still, right, like, almost like he's still got that niceness to him or shyness or whatever it is. That, like, but sweet. Then he's got to get into character and like, really...
try to show that he's Mr. Big Man.
Right.
And at the beginning, they ask him, the first question they ask him is if he, how are things going with the team? And he's like, it's great. I'm getting to know them. Getting to know all about them. Getting to like them. He's reciting lyrics from King and I.
Oh, is that what it is?
He's completely losing control of the situation.
Right out of the gate.
And it's old Nate voice, like shy, sweet Nate voice. So he goes down behind the desk. And I love Nick Muhammad, but the next thing I watch him in, I would really like to see less spitting.
I know, seriously.
That poor man has to spit so much. Now back at the sewer, the guys are like, okay, so what are we doing down here? And Ted says, okay, well, tell me what you're surrounded by. And Jamie says, he raises his hand and then goes, poopé. We're surrounded by poopé. Which is the best.
I know.
And he's like, yes, very good. So then he goes on to basically tell them.
Well, if you think about it, if somebody was to say poopy, just like he says, Keely is Keele.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's poopé.
Yep. I love Jamie. Jamie's had a big, we don't concentrate so much on his character, but
right.
I feel like he's changed a lot in the very start of season 3. There's another thing later that we can bring up. So Ted's basically saying, yes, we're surrounded by a bunch of poopé. And we need to like have some kind of internal system to keep things from getting backed up. And then we need to connect our internal systems to each other so that if one of us gets a little backed up, we can get confidence or we can get some joy or whatever we need from one of the other members of the team.
Right.
It's really very sweet.
It is. Later on we'll see the scene with Rebecca, but yeah, it totally is like, you know, you have to bring them down there to get them to experience it.
Yeah.
To understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, and he just really wanted to get them out of their heads.
Right.
Like he needed something...
to break it up.
Yeah, if they would have just stayed there all day, they probably weren't going to play well. And the more they, you know, got frustrated, it would have gone downhill. So
right.
He just kind of took them out of the situation for a little bit. And it doesn't seem like they were there all that long.
No.
It seemed like it was a short excursion.
But it is a lot of people to go down that one manhole.
One at a time.
I know.
And as they were going down the manhole, there were some utility workers who saw them and took a picture. So the Richmond team was spotted going into the manhole.
Mm.
So once Nate comes back up from trying to talk himself through this and spitting on the floor, he gets back up. And then I like how he's like, I had to tie my shoe.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the time you were going to tie your shoe.
I mean, they probably would have heard him spitting, but whatever.
So they're asking him questions, and now he's coming back with the answers that he feels are the right ones, and that he feels Rupert will think are the right ones. And he's just basically being mean. Like, one reporter asks how, you know, is this overwhelming since you used to be a kit man? And, like, I get it. That wasn't a very nice question for the reporter to ask. But instead of doing something like Ted would do, he fought back even more and made some joke about the man looking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even, I'm not even, I don't think it was wrong that he said, I earned this, because in a way he did, but then it took a turn by he calls the guy stupid.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Or said he asked a stupid question.
Yeah, for someone who looks so smart.
Which, yes, yeah, right.
Rebecca rushed back from lunch so that she could watch this press conference. So now they cut to Higgins and Rebecca in the office.
Right.
And earlier, he pointed out the mascara stains on her shirt. And then she said it was Keely. And he showed his own shirt that has matching stains.
So that he cannot get out.
No, he said he's dry cleaned it 6 times. Okay, we have breaking news also.
Oh, what's that?
Earlier I said that Rebecca Welton's wardrobe on Twitter didn't yet have the jacket, and then it came up. So she has found it now.
Oh, great. What's that thing worth?
It's made by Roland Moray. I don't know if I'm saying that
right.
That
already sounds expensive.
It was $1,695.
Oh, my God.
It has since been marked down to $255, but they're completely sold out. Oh, I'm sorry, pounds, not dollars.
Still, I mean.
Yeah, almost about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Especially right now.
If anyone was lucky enough to grab one before they were all sold out, they could have gotten it for $255.
Wow.
As they're watching the press conference, and Nate's giving the press conference, and Ted's down in the sewer, a tweet comes up, much like the breaking news tweet that we had.
Yes.
That shows the picture of the utility people who caught them going down into the manhole, and makes some joke about that they've seen their whole Richmond team going into a sewer. So a reporter asked Nate if he would like to respond to that. And he says, it doesn't surprise me since their coach is so shitty.
Yeah, makes sense or something. What does he say? He said it makes sense because their coach is so shitty.
And at the same time, Higgins sees the tweet, shows Rebecca, and he's like, I think I just figured out where the team's been this whole time. And after Nate makes that comment, Rebecca slams. We have the first Rebecca slamming of the laptop for season 3.
For the season. Yeah.
So now she's pretty furious. So the guys get back from the sewer, and Ted checks his phone. He sees that Henry is almost there. He's not quite in Kansas City. Can you get a direct flight from London to Kansas
City? I thought about that the whole episode when we first started watching. I guess you can. I don't know. I don't know. Anything's possible.
I'll have to look.
I have no idea. Maybe whatever the major airport is there, maybe it's an international.
Then Beard sees the tweet also. The guys in the locker room see the tweet also, and it starts going around. And at first, the guys are really upset. And then Jamie steps in. Jamie!
I know, of all people.
And says, it's just poopé.
Mm-hmm. Let it flow.
Let it flow.
And then they're all like, yeah. Like, they get it.
Yep.
And just at that point, Ted was about to step in, and Beard stops him.
Like, yeah.
Before that happened, hey, let's see if they can work it out. And Jamie, you're right, of all people.
Yep. It was great. And then Jamie says, bingo, El Ringo.
I know, which I thought was very Ted Lasso.
Very
Coach Lasso thing to say.
Maybe Ted will just adopt Jamie at the end of the season not go home to Henry. So he looks down at his phone and he has a Rebecca DeBoss text message that says, in my office now.
AKA the boss.
The little picture that comes up when her name comes up looks way more like Hannah Waddingham than it does Rebecca.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a very casual picture, which is funny. So he goes upstairs and she's like, where the hell were you? And he says, I took the boys out for a field trip. And she's like, yeah, I know. You went to a sewer. Everybody knows it. And he's like, and you're upset because I didn't invite you? So they almost have a very similar conversation to the one they had at the beginning of the episode, but now she's really pissed.
Right.
Like, we haven't seen Rebecca this angry. I don't think we've ever seen Rebecca this angry at Ted.
Yeah, like about the team and at Ted.
Yeah. Like, this is kind of the anger she gave to Rupert when she said, you're having a baby.
Yeah, I know. Yes, exactly.
Like, even the fight that Ted and Rebecca had, I feel like Ted was more upset. In season 1, when she trades Jamie, Ted was more upset than Rebecca was.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she is really upset here. And she basically says, like, you took the team to a sewer. They're not training. West Ham's doing a press conference, and Nathan made a comment about you. And she asked him if he heard it. He says, yes. And he's responding with yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Like, he looks a little bit like he is not intimidated, but this is kind of a gut punch for him.
Yeah, it's getting through, whatever it is. Yeah.
And she says, Rupert is laughing at me. And then she says, and I'm begging you, please fight back.
And that's really what it's about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That Rupert is winning this, you know, part of the battle or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he's already ahead of the game. They're you know, predicted to come in 20th place last.
Right.
So it's not a good day for her.
No. But it's also, I think she's being really vulnerable with him, because instead of staying like angry, she just flat out tells him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm begging you to please fight for this team.
Yeah.
Because we cannot let Rupert win.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it is interesting that she is still willing to be so vulnerable with him here, even when she's angry. But we haven't seen Rebecca this angry in a long time. So Ted's like, okay, like, I don't even, it's almost like he's almost going to tear up. Like, he's getting yelled at.
I know, like a kid.
By his boss. So they end up going and having a press conference where he's going to react to what Nate said. He starts off his usual Ted self. Like, he knows these people. He's let those these people know that he is invested kind of in them too. You know, like, he asks.
Oh, yeah.
Tells the one girl he likes her hair. Congratulates the guy who's now working for the Independent. So someone asks him, you know, would you like to talk about the fact that you guys are in last place? And he's making jokes about being the belly button on a rattlesnake.
Yeah, lower than the belly button on a rattlesnake.
Do rattlesnakes have belly buttons?
I don't know. That's a good question.
But his hopes are as high as a giraffe's top hat. And then he's like, next question. And is if it's why the giraffe is wearing a top hat, don't ask me, go ask the giraffe. And the one guy puts his hand down.
I know, like, that was the going to be the question. That's so funny.
So then he asks if he's heard what Nate said about him and if he would like to react to it. And you can see Rebecca's face in the beginning here, like, she's not real happy with the way that this press conference is going.
Well, no, because at first it seems like Ted's going to just lay down and die there. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he got us, you know?
Yeah. He says, you know, I thought it was hilarious. And he's like, that's Nate the Great for you. He gives a little dig to Nate by calling him a junkyard dog.
Right.
But he does say, you know, that's what he does. He finds your weakness and he will go and attack it. And he says he's smart and that he wishes him the best of luck and that they're really lucky to have him over there.
Yeah, he takes the high road.
So he's very Michelle Obama when, what was the thing during the, when they go low, we go high?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Now, Rebecca, not so much loving it at this point. But then he pauses for a minute and he's like, you know, I'm a little surprised, though, that that was the best he could do. It's like he didn't make any dumb American jokes and it's sitting right there. So this was the best tactic that Ted could have had because, like, it's just totally takes the wind out of Nate's sails,
right,
if he's gonna yes and all of the insults he made about him, you know, or the one insult that he said by saying a shitty coach. So then Ted starts in saying, you know, I'm so dumb.
And then he waits for everybody to say, how dumb are you?
Nothing. I didn't know that that wouldn't be a joke over there. I mean, I've never tried it. I've only been there a couple of times, but. And
the best is when he eggs him on, the reporter up front says, how dumb are you?
Right. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't say it in the inflection. Right. Like, I'm so dumb. How dumb are you?
Right. How dumb are you? So he goes on with like a bunch of different jokes about how he's so dumb that the first time he saw Yorkshire pudding, he thought it was a fancy name for dog poop. That he still spells pounds, LBS.
Right.
And my favorite one, which is, I look like Ned Flanders cosplaying as Ned Flanders.
I know. I'm surprised they got that one. I guess is Simpsons is big over there? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it probably is.
It must be.
But I almost feel like even if it's not something that they would have gotten, they were going to put that joke in here anyway because he's been compared to Ned Flanders since the start of this show.
Yeah.
And now Rebecca's starting to realize, like, okay. And she gets a text from Keeley at the same time saying, way to let Ted be Ted.
Right, which really sells it to her.
Yeah. And Nate's watching this. I love how everyone's seeing this so quickly. The article came out so fast.
Well, it's live, I guess, so.
Then he has one joke that kind of flops because it's about baseball. It's a Kevin. I'm cornier than Kevin Costner's field.
Yeah, outfield.
And they don't get that.
No, the field of dreams. Yeah. I got it immediately.
Of course you did. So he looks down the phone. He can see a text message coming in. He looks down and it says it's from Michelle saying that Henry's there. A little picture of Henry waving. Then Ted really lays into himself and makes a joke about the panic attacks, saying, you know, I've had more psychotic episodes than Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Which is great if because you watch Twin Peaks. He knows that Nate is the one who leaked that, but no one else does. So it is also kind of take a comeback at Nate because he's basically like taking the wind out of his sail about the panic attack story also.
Yeah.
So Nate sees this. He's angry. Rebecca's feeling and
he goes immediately goes to Twitter because he loves to see the reaction on Twitter. He's very fascinated with that.
And now there's one that's calling him a wanker.
Right.
And then I love that his mom texts him and says, your dad saw the press conference. He was upset that you swore, but he'll get over it.
I know.
So it almost seems like the mom's a little proud of him.
I know, but the dad still needs to get a dig in there.
Yeah. That night, Ted and Beard are walking home, and Ted's again now asking Beard, like, you ever wonder why we're here? And Beard's like, you mean on Earth or in London?
Yeah.
Both. And then Beard's like, are we going to have a drink? And he's like, no, I need to go home and talk to Henry. And he's like, all right, well, you just passed your apartment.
I know. And he's like, oh, okay.
Ted's had a hell of a day.
I know, right?
So he goes inside. He calls Henry on FaceTime. And they're playing around with the little Lego set. He's showing him like that he put the trophy right on the end there. And Henry notices that Nate's in the background. And he's like, well, that's because he doesn't work with us anymore. And Henry's like, but you can still be friends, right?
Yeah, which, and of course, Ted, you know.
Of course, yeah. He's like, all right, hang on. I'll put him up closer. Yeah. So he does. He brings him in a little tighter. And I like that they're showing more of Ted and Henry this season. And I hope that this continues.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he was very glossed over in the second season.
Yep.
And I feel like we need to see more of the fact that this man has a child.
Right.
That does not live anywhere near him.
Right. No, I agree with that.
So he tells him, you know, I don't like being away from you and I only do it because it's something important. And Henry's kind of invested in the fact that he wants his dad to win the whole thing at this point also. Right. Then Henry puts his fist up and there's some superhero big glove thing on his hand. Ted says, oh, that's cool. Where'd you get that? And he says, Jake. And then he's like, oh, who's Jake? And Henry says, mommy's friend.
And then Ted's day just got shittier. His shitty day got shittier.
Yes.
Because that was like, you could tell in his look on his face, that was a gut punch.
Yeah. Like he didn't hear the next 5 minutes of the conversation with Henry because his mind was probably just like, the fact that they play the song, Ring the Alarm, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is perfect because alarm bells are going off in his head right now.
That's it.
He just realized. Because
that's really like, I have moved on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's it. That is the end of the first episode. Okay, so what did we learn about Ted?
He had a really bad day.
He did have a very bad day.
That started off probably good. I mean, good that he woke up with a son.
Yeah, but he was sad having to send him home.
That's what I mean. But then it just got worse and worse as the day went on.
I think I learned that Ted's less happy in Richmond than I thought he was.
Getting there.
Yeah. And it's probably also because he spent 6 weeks with Henry and then had to say goodbye to him. Right. Like, you know, normally when he's doing his thing and stuff, he probably, it's not as heavy on his mind, but. And also we learned another really sad story about Ted's childhood.
Yes.
All right. What did we learn about Rebecca?
That she still feels, not feels something for Rupert, but feels the need to get back at him.
Yeah.
And she's maybe not, that's because she feels like he really zinged her by leaving her and getting with Bex and having a kid.
Yeah.
But I think there's still some kind of something that she needs closure with
yeah.
that whole thing.
It's still way too personal for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good way to put it.
What did Rebecca learn? I think Rebecca learned that maybe, I mean, she was angry, and I think she still wants Ted to make mm-hmm. a focus on playing the game and playing it to win. But I think she probably felt a little bit like maybe she was too hard on him after that conference, because I think, like Keely said, you got to let Ted be Ted.
Yeah, I think after the press conference, she realized, okay, there's a method to the madness. Like, yeah. there's a reason they went down the sewer. And you know what I mean? And she's just got to still let it, right. you know, let it go and let it play out and see where he's going with it. He is the coach.
Yeah. And
are they more aware of each other?
Oh, wait. Did we have... No, wait. What did Ted learn?
Oh.
Ted learned that Michelle's been having sex for the last 6 weeks while he's been taking care of Henry.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. What did Ted
poor
learn?
Ted. Yeah.
I think also what Ted learned is that that vengeance for Rupert is still there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's always known. I think it's been there, and maybe he thought it cooled off for a while, but now, you know what I mean? He learned today, or in this episode, I should yeah. say, that, wow, that's still there, and she's still, not necessarily has feelings for him, but has a need to get back at him, and it's not really about them beating West Ham, but it's about her getting back at
right.
Beating
Rupert.
Yes, when he's going to, so I think he learned that
and
in
I
this episode.
I wonder if this is kind of his turning point where it's like, okay, well, if I am going to be here, then I am going to fight.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well, that.
No. Yeah. Well, it's, are they any more aware of each other?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The big one, which I could see why you glossed over it. I mean, they are, but not in the way that this podcast is.
Right.
Hoping for.
Yeah. There was sweetness in the fact that, like, she knew he wasn't feeling well as soon as he didn't come in rhyming.
Right. Yeah. That was good. And then during the press conference, she realized, yeah. okay, this is, you know what I mean?
Like, but no.
Ted's Ted.
I mean, hopefully we're going to be able to turn that around. I think if we're hopefully going to see some sort of sign within the next 5 episodes.
Mm. Yeah.
If not, we might have to change the name of this podcast.
Yeah, or just end it all together.
They're friends.
Okay. 5 episodes into season 3.
No, I'm sticking with this okay. until the bitter end.
I'm right here with you.
We have to go down with the Titanic. Like,
yeah, down to the sewer.
We can't give up. We have to stay with everyone else while we all go down.
All right.
But I still have faith.
Okay.
I mean, it's where all the signs are pointing. It's the makes the most sense writing wise, so
mm-hmm.
let's just hold on tight.
All right, I'm with you.
I'm feeling good.
Let's do it.
Okay, that's it. If you want to yell at me on Twitter, you can do that at Ted Becca Podcast, and that's all. All right, I forgot how to end the show, so we'll see you later.
All right,
bye.